Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, April 4th. I'm your host, Jared Petty, alongside the Rogue One, Mr. Gary Whitta.
What a joy it is to be back with you again.
Indeed.
Especially after last week's cavalcade.
After the marathon.
I don't know what to call it. Call it what you like. It was something.
I think we can call it a wide area grease fire. I think that was definitely what it was. But yeah, the folks were very encouraging. And
that's good.
But I think we got to rein it in this time because
let's try and be a bit more professional this time. Stay on topic.
Stay on target.
Stay on target.
Stay on target.
That's okay. Right.
All right. Going to do that then. We're going to Jack Porkins it up right here. Gary Whitta and I, hey, each and every week, we here at Kinda Funny, sometimes Gary and I, sometimes lots of other good people, bring you the news from around the world in gaming. Be a part of it all at kindafunny.com/KFGD. That's kindafunny/KFGD, where you can write in and let us know what you think. You can watch live at twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Some people right now watching live at twitch.tv/kindafunnygames just heard me ask them to watch live at twitch.tv/kindafunnygames.
I'm watching. Yeah, what more do you want from me?
We know. Yeah. But if you're listening later on through the magic of time warps and non-linear editing,
you can, in
fact,
watch this live.
You can. Or you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, a good place for you to go. Hop on to kindafunnygames/you'rewrong. That's kindafunnygames/you'rewrong to let us know what we got wrong. What facts we screw up?
Not opinions, but facts.
That's right. We want to hear about those facts. And you can support the show on patreon.com/kindafunnygames. And you should, to get all kinds of groovy benefits, rewards, and exclusives at all, etc. You can find out more about that at patreon.com/kindafunnygames. That's not just something we throw in there, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, Patreon helps keep the lights on and the voices going and all this chicanery.
Chicanery.
Alive.
Another good word.
Oh, continuing. We're back to that again.
Continuing with the verbiage.
I think maybe we just need to. Maybe you should teach everyone a new word every Wednesday.
Word of the day.
Yeah, like word
There's
of the day.
There's any number of places you can get your word of the day. If I think of a good one, I'll slot it in there.
Okay, so it's like Whitta's Wednesday words.
There you go.
Yeah.
www.
Yeah, I got it right there. We got that alliteration going on.
I like it.
All right
there
we go.
Let's see what we can come up with.
Housekeeping, ladies and gentlemen. First off, Kinda Funny prom tickets are on sale now at kindafunny.com. No, kindafunny.com/tickets. Sorry about that. KF prom tickets on sale right now. You want to come to the prom? You want to bring your squeezy? You want to dance all night? You want to get jiggy with it? You want to get down like it's 1995 or 1985 or whatever your choice may be? That's the place to do it. You come to the prom, Gary?
I haven't decided yet.
What's keeping you on the fence?
I mean, the fact that I don't like to go out.
Okay, well, there's that. What's your idea of a perfect evening?
Staying in, watching TV, go to bed early.
What's good TV right now?
I mean, whatever, really. It depends what I'm in the mood for. Like, if I feel mentally alert at the end of the day, which is frankly rare, I'll watch like a real movie or, you know, a TV show that, you know, like a quality show that demands your attention.
Okay.
But increasingly, I'm so wasted at the end of the day in terms of like my work and everything else that, you know, is just going on in my life that by the time I crash, all I want to do is just watch something that doesn't require anything of me. Like, I watch like Storage Wars and shit like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because like it's on and I can watch it, but I don't. It doesn't matter if I miss a bit of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's something to watch, but I don't have to really care.
Wow, Storage Wars.
Or I fall back into comfort TV where I watch, like, shows that... Good shows, but things I've already seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I enjoy watching them again, but, like, I don't have to pay attention. But in terms of, like, TV and movies that are out there right now that really I should be catching up on watching, I'm way behind because it's so hard for me to muster... And you get that, you know, the thing, you get that like that Netflix paralysis where there's so much stuff to choose from that you just spend an hour just like bouncing around and you never really commit to anything.
Yeah.
I spent like an hour. Like, I could have actually watched a show in the time that I spent just bouncing around going, maybe. Nah. Next thing. And I end up watching nothing.
Thank God.
There's too much good stuff.
Just go back to TNG every time. That's
I mean,
really
it is a fallback for sure.
It's a
you
good
can't
fallback.
Go wrong with TNG.
You have that TNG, you have that Frasier. They're both sitting there just waiting
Frasier
for you.
Frasier is always, yeah. I never, Frasier is one of those things where, again, if I'm going through the channel guide, I spot Frasier in reruns. It's always in reruns somewhere. All right, fine. I'll stop. And it's always a good one.
Yeah.
Because they're all good ones.
Yeah, the first 9 seasons of Frasier are great. Like
the last one they did, it fell off a little bit.
Yeah. But even 10 and 11 are pretty good.
Yeah, they're all good.
We should probably move on with housekeeping because we don't want to set that record
no,
again.
No, we're doing the thing.
Kinda Funny's first annual PAX East Chicken Wing Ding, BYOW. Bring your own wing. PAX panel, Thursday, April 5th, 7:30 p.m. at the Dragonfly Theater. That's tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you know what? I just realized.
What?
Today's April 4th.
It is.
Today is the 22nd anniversary of me arriving in America.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You came over on the Mayflower.
I remember the date because originally my flight was April 1st.
Okay.
And I didn't want to come out on April Fool's Day because I felt like it might set a bad precedent. So I changed it. I'm superstitious about things like that. I changed it to April 4th. That, otherwise, I don't think I'd remember the date. That's how I remember it. April 4th, 1996. I got off the plane. No idea what I'm doing. And I don't know. The rest is history.
You came here for the fabulous healthcare. Right.
Oh yeah, I can't get enough of that healthcare.
Okay. Yeah, I just figured that's what it was all about.
And all the guns.
Yeah, and all the guns.
The more guns, the better. Frankly.
Yeah. You like those guns?
I think it'd be brilliant if everyone just had a gun all the time.
I think that would probably end badly.
No, why? Because surely the good guys would win, right? Because the good guys beat the bad guys with the guns. Isn't that how it works?
I don't think that's how shootings work.
No?
I mean, sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. I've been told
that good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns.
Sometimes they do, and sometimes they try and get shot.
Okay, so fewer guns? Is that what you're suggesting? Because that sounds crazy. Fewer guns?
Next up, What's Good Games Live, Friday, April 6th, 3 p.m. at the Arachnid Theater. That's right, lots of stuff going on for PAX right now. So, yeah, you want to see Andrea Renee? Head over there to What's Good Games Live, Friday.
This is happening right now. PAX is like, this is happening right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's all happening. Yeah, yeah. I was over at What's Good Games yesterday, and both Brittany and Andrea were flying over today. I think Greg's already out there right now.
I love PAX. It's one of the things that when I can't make it, I always feel bad. Like most conventions and other things, I'm like, whatever. PAX, if I'm not there, I feel sad because I know it's a great time.
So what are you doing here?
Well, I've got to do this.
Okay.
And B, I've just got too much else going on. Like I'm too busy to go and do fun stuff.
Fun things.
Life.
Too busy to enjoy the life you're living.
I wish. Maybe, you know what? I'm going to make a real effort. Maybe I'll go to PAX Prime this year.
I want to go to PAX Prime this year.
Because that's my favorite one.
Gary, I have never been to PAX.
Oh, you have to fix that.
I know.
You have to fix that. Let's make a deal that we'll both go to PAX Prime this year.
PAX Buddies.
All right. Excellent. Good.
It's going to be the PAX Widow.
Maybe we'll do a panel.
I'd love that.
We could do it.
Can we do a panel together?
Yeah, why not? Who wouldn't have us?
Indeed. Would you have us? Would you guys be
up for
that?
We are delightful.
All right.
Who wouldn't want us in their PAX?
Up in their PAX,
yeah.
Indeed.
Wow. Yeah.
The PAX Jurata, the PAX Wita.
Games Daily Live. Let's do it.
I'm very excited
live
about
on
what's
stage.
Happening here. Oh my gosh, it's just getting better and better. We still have to watch Street Fighter on a Tuesday too.
We can do that too.
What's Good Games meet and greet 5 to 7 p.m. at the Whiskey Priest Friday, April 6th. So once again, April 6th for What's Good Games, 3 p.m. at the Arachnid Theater, followed by 5 to 7 p.m. at the Whiskey Priest. All kinds of good stuff going on there. Check it out. If you're at PAX, go see our friends. Also, Greg, Tim, and Pixel Brave are headed to Mizzou next week. Meet and greet Wednesday, April 11th at CJ's Hot Wings, 6:30 p.m. That's right. They're headed over to Mizzou at CJ's Hot Wings, 6:30 p.m. And finally, we're sponsored today by patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But we'll tell you about that later.
Sure you will.
Gary, I'm excited about this panel that we're just conceiving
that
here
we just
and
invented
now.
Live, pure creation, live on air that you just saw there. I think it's a good idea. We'll just do whatever's in the news that day. Like, whatever the day of the panel is, we'll just do it. Like
just
it's a real show.
Random panel.
Fuck it. Let's do the show right here. You know, it's one of those kind of things.
We could do that. That'd be amazing. Do it live.
We'll do it. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
We'll do it
Bill O'Reilly style.
I'm good with that. Let's not do it entirely Bill O'Reilly style.
We'll try to not have to settle any $32 million lawsuits or anything, but we will do the game news.
Okay.
Which seems less stressful.
It does. And more fun, less stress. More fun for everyone.
All right.
Really. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
We are already doing better, by the way. We're at the news way quicker than we were last
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. We are much, much quicker.
Not even 10 minutes in and we're actually doing the news.
I know, and we rambled a little bit today too.
Yeah,
but we had
bit.
Some fun. But
yeah.
we're always going to ramble some. It's
a little bit.
Gary,
if you don't
Jared.
Like it, watch Games Daily another day of the week.
Oh, or just stay here and watch it anyway. We'll win you over with our charm. Ding. Gary.
What's up?
16 divided by 8. plus three items on the Roper Report today.
Okay, all right. The math is already giving me a migraine, but okay.
16 divided by 8 plus 3.
That's five.
Very good.
It took me a second. Arithmetic is really not my strong suit.
I think you did very well there, that mental math.
Well, but that's pretty basic, though, when I thought about it.
Yeah, you had the order of operations down. That's the one that throws people that haven't done it in a while sometimes. They forget. You got to do the division and the multiplication before you do the addition.
That's one thing I do remember from school. You break it down into pieces.
Right. Yeah. So you got that order of operations down. Five items on the Roper Report today. Number one, the story on everyone's mind today, ladies and gentlemen, Spider-Man.
So Greg is going to be very excited, right? Because he's been banging on about this forever.
Greg is going to be very excited. He's not the only one that's going to be very excited. I have a very special place in my heart for Spider-Man. He does whatever a spider can. He can, in fact, swing from a web. If you take a look overhead, he's coming. Here comes the Spider-Man. Let's hear all about it from the PlayStation blog. You've all been waiting for it for a long time. We've got emails, phone calls, tweets, Instagram posts, and impassioned pleas. You want to know when Marvel's Spider-Man will finally be in your hands. Everyone here at Insomniac Games is thrilled to announce that Marvel's Spider-Man will launch on Friday, September 7th, 2018, exclusively for the PlayStation 4 system. It's been an incredible experience for us to spend the last few years working on this game. From getting to create our own unique universe and story for our favorite superhero, to working with our talented collaborators at PlayStation and Marvel Games, to developing relationships with the Spider-Man and fan communities, it's been an amazing journey thus far. Along with the release date, we get to show you the final box art for Marvel's Spider-Man Insomniac has a history of excellent game covers, from Ratchet to Clank Future, Crack in Time, to the boiled Olimos Resistance 3 cover.
Oh, Olimos did a cover for Resistance 3?
Apparently he did, yep. And I just tripped over those words because the printer was a little blurred and I thought it said Olimos. And I was like, that cannot be right. We went with a pure red background and a striking image of the web slinger. Skipping down a little bit, you'll see this cover adorning the standard edition of Marvel Spider-Man when it's available at retail and digitally for $59.99 MSRP. Skipping down again, the digital deluxe edition of the game, which is $79.99 MSRP, will include a copy of the game as well as new story chapters with our post-launch DLC series, Marvel Spider-Man, The City That Never Sleeps. That's right, we'll be supporting the game post-launch, and you're getting three new chapters, each with new missions, new villains and characters, and additional suits for Spider-Man. More details on that a bit later down the road.
I bet you there is a mental crazy thing that you pay way too much for, like it comes in a big spider web or something that takes up your entire living room, right?
Oh, we're getting to that. Legendary
Mega Edition.
One paragraph down, my friend. It's a long story today. Yeah, there's actually a lot in this, which is why I'm reading so much of it. Buyers who pre-order the Digital Deluxe Edition also receive by mail a limited edition collectible pin, only available to residents of the US and Canada, featuring Spider-Man as he appears in the cover art for the game. As you predicted, Gary. Of course, for those collectors out there who want an incredible Spider-Man collectible alongside Marvel Spider-Man, we have just the edition for you. The Collector's Edition, $149.99 MSRP while supplies last. Includes all the digital content for the Digital Deluxe Edition, as well as a steelbook case featuring the iconic white spider, mini art book from Titan Books, and an awesome Marvel Spider-Man statue by Gentle Giant.
Yeah, there is. There's always like one big monolithic thing that you're supposed to put on your shelf, right? Like a big tchotchke.
You got to have this. Do you like the tchotchkes?
No, I think these are for single people or for people that have really big houses. Because I don't have the room in my house for these kind of things anymore. I used to, I used to have like the little statuettes and spaceship models and stuff. There's no room for them in my house anymore.
Have you thought about replacing your children with statues?
Well, that's the thing is it all gets replaced by toys and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that as a grotesque man-child, I suffer through some of the same problems, but instead just having too many plastic and inanimate objects in my home.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge tchotchke guy, but I collect little things that remind me of important moments in my life.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm not one of these people. You see like certain people in offices, like their cubicle is just like filled with all these, you know, action figures and toys and little things. I don't know. I've just never really felt the need to surround myself with stuff like that.
I'm kind of one of those guys. Cube at my last job was like BB-8 Christmas light draped over it, and I'm that guy. Yeah, totally. But Pay extra special attention to the statue, and you'll notice something is obviously missing.
Ooh, hold on.
We haven't revealed the entire statue for Collector's Edition. Just Spider-Man perched on top of something.
Ooh.
What could that be? It's too spoilery to show you now, but stay
what
tuned.
What could he be perched on top of?
I don't know.
Greg's head.
That would be amazing. If it's Greg Miller's head.
A life-size bust of Greg Miller.
If it's Greg Miller's head, I will pay $150
I will
for
buy.
This. Yeah, I will buy. First day one. Day one purchase. What is Greg Miller's head? And then it's like shirtless Spider-Man. I don't know. What do you think?
I feel like the possibilities are endless.
That said, no matter where you buy it or which edition you get, you'll have a chance to grab these pre-order items, whether it's a Spidey suit pack featuring Spider-Punk, as well as a couple suits we'll reveal this summer, the Spider-Drone gadget, a PSN avatar, an original PS4-themed design by renowned comic artist Adi Granov, or just some extra skill points to unlock faster web-slinging sooner. Our pre-order bonus is the total package. That was a long news story.
It's a long press release.
It's a long press release, but a lot of info in there.
But I mean, it's a big story, right? A lot of people have been... This is a highly anticipated game. Greg has made a massive media narrative out of like what the release date is.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully now he is somewhat sated. And 5 months to go, right? Basically,
September 7th. Yeah, that's really quick. So we're going to get it there to the end. And I feel like this kind of launches that wonderful fall. When does fall begin for you?
It's a good question. I mean, you know, there's obviously an official date,
right?
But I don't know. I like that part of the year when the days start to get shorter again and mm-hmm. it gets a little bit colder. That's my favorite time of the year because it's the run into Halloween and Thanksgiving and
exactly.
Christmas.
It's
and all
my favorite time of year too.
Yeah.
So okay, so I'm calling it, ladies and gentlemen, this is the official word from Kinda Funny Games Daily. Autumn 2018 begins September 7th with Spider-Man.
The ad, when you see the first Spider-Man,
yes,
slinging his webs,
yep,
that's how you know fall has fallen.
Now, if he looks down and he sees a shadow and he swings back,
there may be two more months of summer.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen because Spider-Man is on the way, and I could not be more excited.
I will play this. By the way, I've never really been like a superhero game guy. I love mm-hmm. the Lego Marvel superhero games; they're just always a ton of fun.
Yep.
But like a lot of the other ones that are out there,
mm-hmm.
I've never really had a ton of excitement for them. But Insomniac obviously have a tremendous pedigree, and I feel like this will be a good one.
They're the right studio for the right property. And for a superhero that seems to be, despite some missteps in the past, kind of custom made for great video games.
I think part of the problem with Spider-Man is that his core mechanic of swinging around on webs is hard to do in a video game and make mm-hmm. it feel good like the way you would want it to.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're at a point now where technologically, and I think in terms of how good we are becoming at game design, that I haven't seen any of the web swinging dynamics or anything in the game yet, but I imagine they'll have a good go at it.
I love this for two reasons. First, I just love Spider-Man. Yeah, I worship Spider-Man since very small childhood. I love the character. I've grown up with him. I love the book. I love many of the television series and the things that have been done with those. I love some of the movies. Second, I'm getting the Bionic Commando sequel I've always wanted.
Right? Because it's the same mechanic, right?
Kind of is. And I know Grin did their best, but man, the weird Vulture Men game, that was just not good. The lovely Bionic Commando Rearmed was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Did you ever play that?
I mean, wasn't that just like, that was the retro one, right?
Yeah, that was the retro-y one. That one was fun,
I played
but the 3D one
was I
so
played
good.
The original Bionic Commando when
so
it came
did
out.
I. Oh, yeah.
Well, Capcom,
now,
right?
It was. Now, did you play the computer version or the NES version?
Computer.
Okay, so they're vastly different, actually.
Yeah.
The NES version, in this case, better because it's a different, better design game.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you got to try it sometime.
Yeah, it's like Mega Man on the PC is a totally different game to on the console version.
Yep, exactly.
Weird.
I think you'd love NES Bionic Commando.
Okay.
But rather than talk about Bionic Commandos, let's go back to Spider-Man from Mad Dog Nick 96. Hello, Jared and Gary. Hello back to you. Happy Widow Wednesday. I, like many, am stoked to hear Spider-Man's release date. I have a small speculative question. Since this is an exclusive title for the PS4, do you think there might be any Easter eggs or cameos of their other Sony-owned IPs? Such as you get a jacket that looks like Cole McGrath's or Desalyn Rose from the Infamous series. Personally, even if it was DLC, I would love to see a story level where Spider-Man and Infamous characters team up, but that's just me. Spider-Man is practically the king of team-ups after all. That's actually quite true. Also, I understand Insomniac is making Spider-Man and Sucker Punch makes Infamous, but we're all friends in this industry. Thanks for staying vigilant while Greg is away. You're welcome, with or without. I think this is an amazing show, just like an amazing Spider-Man. and y'all do a spectacular job. Thank you very much. P.S. I wanted to add a use of superior in there, but I feel if I tried to add any more Spider-Man prefixes, it would feel forced. I hope to meet some best friends at PAX, though I can only make it Thursday. Hashtag shirtless Spider-Man DLC. My friend, do you think this is going to happen?
I don't really care about characters from other Sony franchises showing up. That seems like almost a bit weird. Like, why would they be there? Just because legally they can? I don't know if that creatively makes a lot of sense. But I am excited to see, I don't know if they've talked about it or not, like what other Marvel characters might show up.
I'm excited about that as well. I think that Sucker Punch, I can't pretend to read their minds, but my guess is they would absolutely kill to do anything in tandem with Spider-Man because it's such a beloved property.
Right.
I mean, Spider-Man really is the king of Marvel. He's the one standalone character. Marvel's mostly about teams.
Yeah, if Marvel had to put one character, like if Marvel redesigned their logo in a way that it just had one character on it, it would be Spider-Man.
Exactly. And so any association you can get with that, I think is pretty spectacular. Oh, there's that word again. Spectacular Spider-Man. Amazing. Superior. Anyway, I don't think it's likely it would be a licensing conundrum, but if it happened, I'd be great with it. I think that there's some neat stuff there in Infamous. It'd be a lot of fun. But I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of Easter eggs in this game.
I think so, too. I'd like to see some stuff stuck in there. And I love the idea of the Sonyverse. I still like someday we're going to get that great Sonyverse game that they tried to do with All-Stars.
When they tried to do Smash Brothers.
Yeah, and that, they did it real bad.
That did not work out.
No, it did not. But I don't think that was the weakness of the characters. I think that was the weakness of the game design. But that's a whole other can of worms. We should move on to some more news here.
Yeah.
Number two. WB to take over the publishing of Hitman. This one coming from IGN. Warner Brothers has announced that it's entered into an agreement with IO Interactive to publish Hitman and will release Hitman the Definitive Edition on May 18th. Last year, Square Enix withdrew its ownership of IO, but the Danish developer retained the Hitman license. Warner Brothers' announcement currently only concerns the existing first season of the latest Hitman game, but with the announcement of a new Hitman game on the horizon, this could indicate a future relationship too. Working with a partner like Warner Brothers means the team at IO can stay focused on what we're good at, making games, said IO CEO Håkan Abrek. Hitman, the Definitive Edition, will be released on PS4 and Xbox One with Pro and X enhanced versions and will include the entirety of Season 1, the Game of the Year Edition content, summer bonus episode, Blood Money, Requiem Pack, and an IO 20th Anniversary Outfit Bundle. At all, etc. Did you play Hitman?
A little bit. I really like what they did with this new episodic model that they've done in the most recent iteration, where it's almost like a TV series. You know, there's a different hit, you know, a different job every episode. And they roll them out episodically. I think that was a really smart way to do it. I've never been like a Hitman super fan, but I don't know. People like it, right? I mean, it's like Hitman at this point feels like it's a perennial. Like it's hard to imagine a period in the future, near future, when Hitman is just done. Like it's gone away.
Yeah,
there's always enough appetite for it for like a new version.
Gary, why did you like the episodic approach? What appealed to you about that?
I like episodic gaming because it's bite size. Mm-hmm. I can play a chunk of it that feels like it has a beginning, middle, and end in a reasonable amount of time. You know, it's rare for me to have like 4 or 5 hours to sit down and play a game. And when I do, you know, I'm playing a piece of, you know, a larger whole. And when I come back to it later, I remember like where I was in the story or whatever. But, you know, like the Telltale games and like a lot of episodic stuff, I can sit down, play for a couple of hours and feel like I had a complete meal. As it were. Do you know what I mean? That's why I like it.
So I enjoy episodic gaming as well. And I really enjoyed the last Hitman. As a matter of fact, the most recent Hitman is really the only one I've really gotten into and cared about.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the episodic approach to Hitman, even though I like episodic in most other games.
Right.
And that had to do with I would play through a mission in Hitman. One of the things that game is great at is giving you lots and lots of ways to go about things, lots of different things to try. But I wanted to play through several stages and then go back and try new things.
Right.
And getting it episodically, I didn't have that option. I had to play through, stop a little. And for most games, that works great for me. But for some reason, I think I was just so grabbed by the creativity and the openness of it. Because I don't like most stealth games. But this was a stealth game about hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
Yeah.
That said, I'm really happy to see a definitive edition coming out where now I can just grab it all.
Yeah.
And
it's like the box set, you know, the season, the whole season comes out and you can get the whole thing.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to scare people away from the episodic approach on this.
I think it's great.
Yeah. I'm just glad it helped get the game made. That was good for me.
Yes. I think it really reinvigorated. I don't know if they would have continued or been able to continue to make, you know, the Hitman games under the, like, here's the latest very, very big game in the traditional model. They maybe realized that wasn't working. Let's try something else. The episodic model seems to have really worked for them.
So yeah, it does.
It may have actually saved the Hitman franchise.
Well, it's perennial now.
It's a perennial. It's an evergreen.
Number three, PUBG will step in on mouse keyboard console players. Also from IGN, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds console players that use third-party devices like Zim to play with a keyboard and mouse won't be able to do so forever. When asked whether there were any plans to curb console players' use of keyboard and mouse in the game, PUBG's community coordinator Dan Robodangel tweeted that they'd been gathering in-game information regarding third-party device usage over the past few months. Although usage of these devices is statistically very low, fair gameplay is core to our experience, and we'll be communicating our plan to curb the use of these devices.
That's soon. Interesting. I didn't know this was a thing. So you obviously can't just plug a keyboard and mouse into Xbox and play PUBG, but there's a dongle you can get that allows it to happen?
There's what effectively amounts to a dongle, and it's a sort of a programmable device. I've seen them for 360, and they also exist for Xbox One, that lets you play mouse and keyboard. Now, you still have to play within the parameters of the game, like you can't turn as fast as you could on PC in some games.
Right, you can't just whip around 360,
And that depends on the game and how the game's set up.
Yeah,
but it's still.
You still would get superior accuracy, I'm sure.
Generally speaking, with mouse and keyboard, once you know what you're doing, you get better accuracy. So this is it's not a huge thing, but it's I thought it was an interesting kind of curio of a story.
It is an interesting story, and I am glad that they're stamping it out because. You know, again, it's not fair.
Ah.
Right? There's a reason why they haven't made PUBG cross-platform between Xbox and PC, because, again, the PC players are just going to have a natural advantage. Far, far greater accuracy than you get on a thumbstick controller. I didn't know about the existence. This doesn't surprise me to learn that it mm-hmm. exists, because they'll always make something to do this kind of thing. And I applaud them cracking down on it, because, like, one of the things on PC, you know, again, it's the Wild West, right? And you could argue that you've got on PUBG or any kind of game, you might argue that you've got some people have an advantage because they have a superior machine.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to render the graphics with, like, greater draw distance or just faster frame rates. That's going to give you an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So we get it. Like it's the Wild West over there. On console, though, part of what I like about console gaming is it's like NASCAR, right? It's stock cars. You're not allowed, you know. I'm no expert, but like as far as I understand, stock car racing, those cars all have to conform to the same technical specifications. The driving that makes the difference.
Weirdly,
it's not about having a superior car.
In general, I grew up in NASCAR country.
Do you know about this?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so you can speak to this.
I can speak to this. Yes, there are very strict parameters on what you can do with the car. And that's part of what makes NASCAR appealing.
Right.
I mean, that and four left turns. But I followed racing a lot of my life, and there is a lot of truth to what you're saying, that it is about driver skill. And then also there's, you know, Robert Duvall's arguably famous line from Days of Thunder, which is, "No, nothing stock about a stock car."
Right.
Because, again, they're...
That's the whole point of having these engineering crews and these experts is they can make all kinds of clever little tweaks that are still within the NASCAR parameters, but might actually make a difference.
And in the olden days, may not have been so much within the parameters, but that's up for debate. But it's kind of like baseball. There's some round edges. As NASCAR has become a nationalized sport, it really has, I think, narrowed a lot.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, you're on a level playing field.
Right.
That's part of the
idea. You're not allowed to add aftermarket nitrous to your NASCAR.
Definitely not.
And nor should you be able to do anything equivalent to that to your Xbox or PlayStation if that gives you an unfair edge.
I think especially for a game like PUBG, I actually don't mind if, you know, I like playing with mouse and keyboard. And I don't play very many shooters on console because I don't like using controllers. If it's a console exclusive shooter and I want to sit there and play Halo 5 with a keyboard and a mouse because I think it's fun that way, I might run out and buy Zim. I've never done it. I'd really have to love the shooter, and I've never loved an Xbox shooter enough to do that. But with a game like PUBG, where you just go play it on PC to keep it level, I'm way more in favor of that.
I hear you.
Yeah. But yeah, I think real quick one here, number four. I put this in here, even though this is technically yesterday's news.
Okay.
And I did it because it's a follow-up to something we talked about on Games Daily a few weeks ago. Chrono Trigger may get fixed. This story from Polygon. Chrono Trigger's surprise release on Steam in February was great news for fans of the classic role-playing game right up to the point that they saw what Square Enix had actually released. The Windows PC version of Chrono Trigger wasn't a faithful recreation of the SNES original, but a poorly received port of one of the company's
mobile
releases.
Is that how you always say, you say SNES?
No, I'm one of those terrible people that says SNES and SNES. I'm one of those terrible people that says GIF and GIF.
Oh, so you go back and forth.
I go back and forth.
Oh, okay. You're not consistent.
No.
Interesting.
I'm mercurial.
I go I actually on certain things I'm pretty consistent, but sometimes I say SNES and sometimes I say Super NES.
Ah, okay. So sometimes you go to Super NES.
Yeah. There's a number of ways to go.
There are a lot of different. What's your favorite, you think, when it comes down to it at your core?
I think I mostly say SNES because it's just the most parsimonious.
Ooh. Man, I love this. We got to get this vocabulary thing down. Fans complained that the game's graphics and UI were ugly and carelessly brought over from the Android iOS Chrono Trigger. Modders stepped in to fix the game themselves in an attempt to restore the game. Now Square Enix says it will address Chrono Trigger's PC port in-house with a trio of patches. Quote, "We have been working on addressing the issues that you've raised and will be releasing a number of patches over the coming months as we continue to support Chrono Trigger on Steam."
Was this the one that they got in trouble because it was basically just like they had to put the mobile port on PC? Was that the same
what
story?
What they've done is they made a new version of the there had been a mobile port.
Yeah.
They made a new version of the mobile port and a PC version that came out the same day.
Right.
And those versions were obviously the same repurposed.
Yeah, because the PC
version
even had like some of the touch control scheme.
So they made a new mobile version, but they made the PC version in tandem and had literally just as lazily as possible.
Yeah, I was gonna say it felt lazy.
Yeah, it was. And there were some graphical inconsistencies. The interface was ugly as sin. And Chrono Trigger, beyond its marvelous mechanical design, is a game that exists at least 20% on charm.
Mm-hmm.
And they
for sure.
And they kind of just gutted that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But people, so Square Enix said that in an update posted on Steam. Chrono Trigger's first patch is expected in the first half of April. That patch will include the option to switch between Chrono Trigger's existing graphics and the original graphical style of Chrono Trigger.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll post a full list of changes here when the first patch is released. For now, be assured they're working very hard on adjusting, updating, and supporting Chrono Trigger on Steam. Square Enix.
So these could be the patches that restore Chrono Trigger to glory.
Yeah, I think that's great. I can't believe it's happening. Can you?
I love it.
I complain more. I don't usually like to look at the video game community and say complain more.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease, Jared.
Yeah, we griped and it changed. So go, everybody. Well done.
It. Complain more.
Complain more.
That's what the internet needs is more
exactly.
People complaining.
But yeah, I'm thrilled about that. So I mostly put this in here because it's a follow-up to something we covered earlier and also because I care a lot about it.
That's good. I love it. I mean, Chrono Trigger, serious business.
Yoo-hoo! And number five, from our friends at IGN, Far Cry 5, the second biggest launch in Ubisoft history.
Hmm.
Far Cry 5 is at a major sales milestone, becoming the fastest selling game in the franchise's history. As detailed by Ubisoft, the latest entry in the series has more than doubled Far Cry 4's first week sales.
Wow.
With digital distribution accounting for more than half of those sales. Far Cry 5 is also now the second biggest launch ever for an Ubisoft title. It trails only behind Steep. No, just kidding. Tom Clancy's The Division, with $310 million USD in consumer spending.
I'm surprised when I saw the headline here, second biggest, I instantly went to, okay, what's the first? And my mind went to, I would have thought it must have been an Assassin's Creed title, but and it's actually The Division.
It's The Division.
Which I'm excited to hear about because, as you know, I'm a big fan of The Division. I'm glad to hear it was successful enough that we're getting a sequel.
The sequel is Tom Clancy's Subtraction, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then you did, well, no, it'd be Multiplication.
It'd be the Tom Clancy's The Multiplication.
So, yeah.
And the trilogy ends in Tom Clancy's The Square Root.
Tom Clancy's Quadratic Equations.
Now, if you go out and you buy The Division with all the DLC, is it Tom Clancy's Long Division?
Oh, that is good.
Thank you very much.
No, that is good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Additionally, the players have streamed more than 55,000 hours of Far Cry 5 on Twitch.
My goodness. Yeah, it's very popular with the streamers right now.
And YouTube videos featuring the game have garnered over 117 million views. Both are records for an Ubisoft game in the first week.
Far Cry series, stronger than ever.
Yeah, you playing
Far Cry? I downloaded it over the weekend, okay. And I need to, again, as always, need to find the time to sit down and play it. But I've been watching some of the streams. Mm-hmm. Everyone tells me like the gunplay and the combat is great, and I haven't played a really fun shooter in a little while, so I'm going to give it a go.
It's pretty good. It's sure as Far Cry, and it's pretty good. I like it.
It's, you know, one of the things I like about Ubisoft with their franchises, with Assassin's Creed and Far Cry, is they can kind of be whatever they want them to be. Like Assassin's Creed, you know, it always comes back to that central gimmick of kind of traveling back through time and being in different periods in history. But, you know, there's any number of fascinating places in time and space where they can go and continue to iterate forever. Far Cry, like there's no, as I understand, there's no unifying mythology. It's just like, let's go over here.
Yeah, here's a mean despot in some weird place.
Let's do this. You know, they can go wherever they want with it.
Again, I love Ubi's zaniness. I'm glad we have them. They are the wacky Triple Eight studio that this world
needs.
It's
like I said to you the other day, EA and Activision would never do this stuff. So I'm very glad that Ubisoft is out there.
Far Cry's really strange.
Don't we always, like E3, don't we always look forward to the Ubisoft press conference? A, because we know there's a good chance it's going to be a train wreck.
Yeah.
But also because their stuff is just a bit more, you know, here's a new Call of Duty. Here's a new Medal of Honor. Here's a new FIFA. Yeah, okay, of course. Like, yes. Show me something I've never heard of. Show me something that genuinely surprises me. You have to go to Ubisoft to get that stuff.
Aisha Tyler is going to have something fantastic to show us that we're going to be boggled by.
Yeah.
They're giving us Beyond Good and Evil 2. That's good by me. Before we move on to the next segment, Gary, you have a story that you weren't here from the morning show, but you were showing me something on your phone a moment ago. You want to share this with the good people?
Not particularly. I got I've been working on this project kind of under the radar for the past several months. Well, really, probably longer than that even. But myself and a writer friend of mine by the name of Jonathan Betchwell are trying very hard to bring The Last Starfighter back. And we've been working on it for a while. John is actually the creator of The Last Starfighter. He wrote the original film back in the early 80s. And it's always been a favorite film of mine. It's the only, in my office at home, I have like various posters up on the wall, but they're all things that like are something to do with me, like whether it be Rogue One or Rebels or After Earth or Book of Eli or Walking Dead. Like it's all stuff that like I've done, you know, because it's my office. I have one poster up on the wall that isn't something that I worked on. It's The Last Starfighter because it was such a pivotal movie for me when I was a kid. It was really seriously up there with Star Wars in terms of like what it did to my imagination. Because I used to play, you know, computer games all day long. And the idea of you could play a video game, but it's actually a magic ticket to like a real space adventure. I just, oh my God, what a brilliant idea. And I was just so taken with it. And I wore out the VHS tape when I was a kid. And every meeting I've ever been at in Hollywood, they always say to me, someone says like, what would you do if you could do anything? I'd say Starfighter. And they all go, oh yes, we know. but then they say, but we've looked into it and the rights are impossible because the company that made the original movie no longer exists and bankruptcy and who knows who actually owns the rights. It's a big old mess. Mm-hmm. But I found, just coincidentally, I happened to find John Betchwell who wrote the original movie. Got talking to him and spent like an hour just fanboying with him about the original film. And then we started talking about like what would we do if it were to come back? Like what would a new Last Starfighter movie look like? And we got really excited about it and we collaborated on it and we figured it all out. We know exactly what we think the next Starfighter movie is and can be. And we're trying to get studios and other people who. Here's the weird thing. The part of the reason why no one's been able to do it all these years is that John, because of some weird legal arcanery that is attached to what his original contract looked like back in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. And it was the Wild West back then.
Okay.
He still has like a little piece of it. So like no one can do it without him.
Okay.
They can't just go off and make a new, because he has, it's like all different people all have pieces of the treasure map.
Yeah.
But they all have to put their piece in the middle to see the whole map. And John has a piece of the map. And, you know, other people, it's a mess.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm working with John. He and I are partnered on it as writers and producers. And they can't do it. But then no one can do it without us. I think that I'm not a lawyer, but that's the way that John has explained it to me. He knows his contract better than I do. And so he and I worked on a story. And I tapped up my friend Matt Alsop, who was the lead concept artist on Rogue One. to do some art for us. And he did some beautiful art that I posted on Twitter this morning, just because I we've been sitting on this for so long.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited about this. Like, what's the harm? And so I thought, here's a little something we're working on. And I didn't even say what it was. I just said, here's something that we're working on. You might recognize the ships.
Yeah.
And then my Twitter feed just exploded with like, holy shit, are those Gunstars? Yeah, they're Gunstars. And so he and I are working on it. You know, again, the rights situation is not simple.
Well, let me ask you this.
We are working very, very hard to try and figure it all out and make it a real thing.
How can the Legions of Best Friends out there make this happen? What can they do? Is there any way to leverage their goodwill to make this a reality?
I'm not sure. I don't, because we're still figuring out like who exactly we even need to convince.
All right.
Like, we've had conversations with Universal. And we've had conversations with other people. I don't want to get too deep into the minutiae of it. But
when you figure out who needs convinced, I mean, they're advocates.
I'm
right
always happy to tap up your fan base for my personal game.
Well, I mean, that's what are best friends for than to support one
exactly.
another in producing great movies. I love The Last Starfighter.
If you want to know more about it, I just did a IO9 hit me up with some, they saw it and said, hey, do you want to answer some questions? And I answered a few questions, and you can go read on IO9 about it today and see some of the concept art. We're really creatively, again, very, very excited about it. We think this can be a cool thing.
Oh, it's a spectacular. I do need to ask you, would your version of the story include a disembodied head threatening to tell mom about your playbooks?
We do have a beta unit, but I think we have a different version of that gag.
Okay.
That we think is funny.
Yeah, because if you're not going to hear about it, if that's not there, I'm not sure I'm going to be okay with
it. I would say this, if there is something that we think it's a totally original, it's a new thing.
Yeah.
It's not a remake. It's not just remaking the original film. But if there is something about The Last Starfighter that you loved, it's probably in this one as well.
Lovely. I really do enjoy that movie. I wrote
so we'll
about
see.
It
again, it's like
IGN.
The creative work is done. The boring, I mean, at least, you know, enough to let go write a script. The boring part is trying to get other people who hold pieces of the treasure map to convince, you know, to convince them that this is worth doing. And
I love that.
And that's the struggle.
I love that treasure map metaphor. Now, that's what to do about Starfighter. Gary, if people wanted to know about what video games, what new video games they could be playing today, where would they go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
That's not the right jingle, but it's
short
a
list.
Jingle. Huh?
Short list.
Short list today. Three items in the list today. Danganronpa for PS4 and Xbox One, Metropolis, Lux Obscura for PS4, PS Vita, and Switch, and Trick Shot 2, now available.
Okay, I got to ask about this next one, because the title's very intriguing. What is this?
So, we have a new date here. Russian Subway Dogs, coming to Steam and PS4. 2018.
Now,
and
is this like a Reservoir Dogs thing, or is this actually about dogs that live in a Russian subway?
This is about dogs that live in a Russian subway. I watched a trailer for this today.
You've seen a trailer?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's cute little animated dogs wandering around Russian subway stations, battling babushkas, little old Russian ladies,
right,
and breathing fire and juggling vodka and doing very strange
I'm excited.
Things. I have no
I'm
idea
in.
What this
I'm
game
in.
Is.
I don't need to know anymore. I'm in.
Okay. So
take my money.
2018 Russian Subway Dogs coming to Steam and PS4.
We don't have anything
beyond the
I
year.
Love it.
Russian Subway Dogs. Now it's time for Reader Mail, which is sponsored by patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Did you know that a dollar at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames gets you early access to the PlayStation VR show? Early access to Party Mode, including the upcoming one, where Nick and Greg make Andy very angry. Very Andy.
That sounds like premium content.
Yeah, Very Angry Andy sounds like a children's book I want to read. Someone please create a cover for Very Angry Andy and put it on Twitter. I would love to see it, if you don't mind. Tag me when you do that, if you're willing. I would do it myself, but I lack artistic talent. The ability to watch the Kinda Funny Gamescast live as the boys record it, along with pre and post show. And those pre and post shows are fun. You ever been in on one of those?
I've not been in them, but I've seen them.
Oh, they're delightful. The pre and post show, that's one of my favorite things we do here. And access to the monthly Patreon-exclusive show, Ask Kinda Funny Gamescast Anything.
All right.
Yeah, you need to hop in.
You get that for just a dollar?
For a dollar. And if you give a few more bucks, you get the shows early, you get fan mail, you get to be a producer on the show. Every cent you give makes Kinda Funny run. So please consider chipping in if you dig the stuff we're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, it is always, always a privilege to bring you entertainment every day. And the fact that you choose to support us on Patreon is what allows us to keep doing it. It's a very pragmatic plea. We'd like to keep doing this. And when you choose to be a part of that financially, when you have the ability, we get to keep doing it. So thank you, all of you who have invested so much already. And for those of you that haven't yet and think you might be able to, it really matters a lot.
Couldn't agree more.
My thought on the matter. Reader mail from Radister. Hello, the Reverend Jared Petty and Gary Whitta, the Rogue
One. Well, the Rouge One, as he's got it here.
Oh, he's got the Rouge One.
Very common misspelling.
The Rouge One?
I get Rouge a lot.
Okay.
So it just happens.
So you're the red one.
Because autocorrect won't catch it.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, so you're the Rouge One. I like that.
I'm the Rouge One.
You're the red one. Okay, that would make it... Wow, wait a minute. That's very confusing. Because if you're watching in French... Then it'd be like Rouge Une, and that would be Red One from Star Wars.
I don't know if there ever was a Red One. I believe Red One is technically Red Leader.
Yeah, Red Leader would be Red One, yeah. Right? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, they don't say it. You're right, we're okay.
Yeah.
All right, I was a little worried the universe was going to collapse, because they just say Red Leader. With Spider-Man launching on PS4 in September, it started to seem a bit crowded. Now Dragon Quest XI, Spider-Man, and Shadow of the Tomb Raider are all coming out within a 10-day period in September. And if you count the end of August, Yakuza Kiwami 2. I know everyone is trying to get in front of Red Dead Redemption 2, but what do you think of more games packed into September? Also, do you think this year we're looking at a full-packed September and an empty November, currently when no one is announced to come out after the mighty Red Dead? Thanks for the great show.
I mean, Red Dead in particular, I mean, is just an absolute blast zone that if you have any other game, you just need to stay away.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when Disney announces the release date of like a new Marvel movie or a Star Wars movie, like you see all the other movies that were placed around it, they just scurry away. They scurry.
Yeah.
Because they know that it's going to destroy their business.
Yeah, this it really is just an enormous grizzly bear walking into the middle of the forest.
Who's going to have, once Red Dead comes out, who's going to even be looking at what's coming out for a good couple of weeks at least?
Yeah, so it is one of those really weird, genuine megaton events. And I think that what a lot of people are looking at is going, well, we could come out in a crowded September, or we could come out next to Red Dead, and of those two, which is more likely to let our game sell?
Whoever would have thought that one of the biggest gaming franchises, like you said, Megaton event, would be a Western?
I did.
You did?
I did, but that's a story for another day, definitely. Okay. But yeah, that's I didn't know that it would become as big as GTA, but when I first saw Red Dead revealed,
yeah,
I was like, oh, they've nailed it. This is the next big thing from Rockstar.
Right.
And will probably become a cornerstone, which I think it's very apparent
it
has.
It very much has.
Because it's perfect. It's perfect for the kind of game that
I sat in on an IGN podcast recently where the object of it was to figure out the best games of the Xbox 360 generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. I believe it ended up at number one, but I was all in on look, if this is not, if it's not Red Dead, I don't even know why we're having this conversation. Mm-hmm. I felt very, very strongly that it was the best game of that generation.
Yeah, it's just perfect for what they do. Okay. And it was perfect. It was just the right time. Rockstar was able to execute the same kind of game they've made before,
yeah,
but with a complete tonal shift that allowed them to move into and really largely define what the tone of storytelling in video games would feel like for the next generation. They just, it was the perfect game at the perfect time.
They set the tone for everyone else out there for sure.
Yeah. So, so my answer is, yeah, it's getting crowded in September. Yeah, it's probably, there's going to be some cannibalization. I think Dragon Quest XI, they understand, Enix understands that that's going to be a small audience here in the States, most likely. I don't think they're expecting too much out of that. They're going to temper those expectations. I think Sony knows that exclusivity of Spider-Man is going to give it a lot of legs. I think Tomb Raider may end up the AAA odd man out in this. I think it'll do fine, but next to Spider-Man, it's going to be harder, and Dragon Quest is no threat to either of those games because it exists in a separate space. Your thoughts?
I agree that this kind of crowding is no good. Again, you know, most people have very limited funds. You know, they can't they can't afford neither the expense nor the time to play all these games. I think some of them, you know, like a lot of people, like for example, I might say like Shadow of the Tomb Raider, sure, I want to play it, but like I'll just get it down the road when it's on sale or something, and when I've got time to play it. Like, mm-hmm, these games aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I'll just wait.
I'll just wait. And that's, which can be difficult for getting a fourth game of it, made in the Tomb Raider
series. It is over. Again, I'm fortunate enough to be able to buy, you know, whatever game comes out. And it's really just a time issue for me. But for other people that are thinking about the expense and the time, when all the great games are coming out, you know, over the holiday period, or really kind of in that September, October window, because that's when people are buying the games for the holidays. I can totally understand how you'd be completely overwhelmed. Like, you really want to play everything, but you just can't do it. You got to wait.
What's the last game you bought?
Bought?
Mm-hmm.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
That was the last game you paid cash money for.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been in this business for a long time, and I'm very fortunate to have good friends that give me codes for things. Mm-hmm. I make no apologies for it.
Why should you?
But yeah, was it Horizon Zero Dawn? No, I feel like there was something more recent than that.
Okay.
It's on. I'm trying to imagine, like, at home in front under the TV, there's a stack of like it's the on deck section. Like, these are the 10 or 12 things that I should really be looking at. It might be Horizon.
Last game I bought was Minute, which is really fun. Have you seen it yet?
No, what is that?
Oh, you got to play Minute. It's on PS4 and Xbox One and PC, and it's this cute little kind of top down monochromatic game where every 60 seconds you die. No matter what you do. It's an adventure game. It's almost like if you were playing, it's kind of part Zelda and part Day of the Tentacle, but every 60 seconds you die.
Okay.
It's fun. I like it a lot. Really creative little game. Next up, from Kazden Risk. I wrote in a while ago asking.
That's a cool name.
Yeah. Kazden Risk. I wrote in a while ago asking about the odds of a Spider-Man 4 PS4 Pro. With today's announcement of the release date, collector's edition, and other information, when do you think we'll hear details of a special edition console? E3, along with a statue reveal? Closer to the release, like God of War? Never? Thanks for all you do. And I can't do the Spider-Man New York crane guy voice. I can't do it. If I try, it's going to be it. Can you do it?
No, I don't even know what that's, but what is that supposed
like
to be?
Hey, Spider-Man! Like, but I can't do it right.
Oh, is he just like kind of waving a Spider-Man
like,
swings
hey,
by?
Hey, Spider-Man! But
What is that from?
That one? Oh, which one is
that
one
from a
movies?
Particular iteration of Spider-Man?
Yeah, which one is it? I can hear him in my head, but I can't do it right. Spider-Man PS4 Pro.
Oh, I mean, it seems pretty obvious they'll do one, right? PS4 exclusive, major recognizable franchise character. I feel like someone's asleep at the switch if they don't do that.
Yeah, I think that for a brand that is physically associated with the Spider-Man font. You remember the PS3 had
the original. Yeah. The original PS3 had the same typeface as the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, remember that? It was kind of weird. It's like, whoa.
They came off of that pretty quickly.
Yeah, but for a while you had that font there. Yeah, it's just too perfect not to do.
They'll do it.
I just hope
it's not some garish, ugly thing. Like, sometimes less is more. Sometimes a little accent or a little touch is nice. You don't have to like splatter the thing with like red and blue paint to make it Spider-Man. Some people like that, I guess.
It depends on the design. I can think of a few that I'd love to see.
Most of the ones that I see are hideous. Most of the special edition branded consoles are hideous.
There's a lot of bad ones.
Yeah.
But there's some pretty ones out there. But yeah, there are a lot of bad ones. Hey, Jared and Gary, this is from Reese the Donut. You guys are fellow PC dorks. What do you think about the rumors the PS4 Pro Enhanced Edition of Dark Souls is looking to be of lower quality than the base Dark Souls on PC with no mods? There's a thread on Reddit following this by showing side-by-sides that seem to support lower quality PS4 Pro rumor. Is that what console players should expect, or should the developers be trying to push the console more on this release? Thanks, and keep up your delightfully nerdy chemistry.
If it's true, not surprised. PC version of game is superior to console game. Shocker.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I think that's where I fall. I don't... PS4 Pro and Xbox One X, I have no idea if this particular anecdote is true or not. But PS4 Pro and Xbox One X are going to provide you with a better experience visually than PS4 and Xbox. And that's what they were designed to do.
Yes. I think it's an unfair comparison to compare it to PCs, because PCs are more expensive. They're more hassle. It's a totally different thing.
Yeah. If I could go out and buy a graphics card for a PC right now, that would cost me three times what a PS4 Pro would cost by itself.
I don't know if you can even buy a graphics card at all right now with all the Bitcoin cryptocurrency miners snarfing them all up.
Yeah, so think about that. They're like, one component inside your PS4 Pro is a graphics card. One PC graphics card might cost you three times as much as that entire console.
Yeah.
That's not...
Yeah.
It's not... No, you're not going to keep up with PC. And I think that people are, generally speaking, already trying to code as efficiently as they can.
It's like saying, hey, Jared and Gary, what do you think about the fact that the new kind of Toyota Yaris isn't as good as a Lamborghini? Well, guess what? It ain't ever going to be.
And that's no no particular criticism of the consoles. I love playing games on consoles. But no, I think it's unrealistic to expect them to be anywhere near keeping up with what's possible on PC. PCs are just better. Inherently more powerful.
Yes.
Yes. Hence more expensive.
Yes. And more hassle.
And more hassle.
Yeah. And full of hackers and bugs and, yeah. And hardware conflicts and crashes and all kinds of other things that aren't, you know, and they're not particularly living room friendly a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of downsides to PCs, but you know, it can come like, if all you care about is the absolute best looking, most bells and whistles version of the game possible, it's always going to be on PC.
Yeah, I think that's almost always going to be true. I agree with you. Michael asked about PS5 rumors. Bum, bum, bum. What's up, Jared and Gary? So it's finally here. First rumblings of PS5 leaks and details. I don't know if I'd say first rumblings, but as someone who's currently in the market for a PS4 Pro, this puts me in a weird situation. It frustrates the hell out of me. The Pro doesn't actually support native 4K, and there's no UHD drive. Getting one now just seems like an all-around poor decision. But at the same time, if there is to be no PS5 until a year and a half from now, as most people estimate, I can't really justify waiting because I finally exhausted my PS3 backlog, and it's about damn time I got myself a current gen machine.
Oh, this guy doesn't even have a PS4. He has a PS3.
Yeah, he's got a PS3.
Okay.
I'm dying to play Nier Automata, Yakuza 0, Spider-Man, Red Dead 2 as soon as they come out.
And I'm also Persona 5.
Yep. There we go. I'm also committing to 4K because those TVs are totally affordable.
It's
right
true.
Now.
You go to Target or whatever now, and like it's just all 4K TV. Like, that's just the bait. That's just like it's hard to not buy a 4K TV.
It's become the de facto standard. Yeah. It really has. Yeah. Yeah.
It happened very quickly.
That's kind of like HD. Like it was around for years, and then suddenly, boom, one day everybody had it.
The HD switch from standard definition to the 720 1080p TVs felt to me like took a little bit longer to bed in. The 4K thing seemed to happen like there was a brief period there where they're like, oh yeah, the 4K TVs, those are for the crazy people that are willing to spend insane money.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, I'm walking into Target and there's one right there, like a 4K TV for like $500.
Maybe they just conditioned us to go out and buy them. I don't know.
That's what they're good at.
You must upgrade. What do you think the odds are of PS5 actually being closer than most people expect? Say, late this year, early 2019-ish, it could be positioned as an incremental upgrade over PS4, capable of running all PS4 games, also getting PS5 games in parallel, with currently no exclusives going cross-platform. Do you think there's any chance Sony will talk about PS5 at E3? All this may just be wishful thinking on my part, though. I ain't got no MBA. Thanks. Keep up the good work. Gary?
Who knows? Who knows? It'll happen when it happens. Rumors and speculation drive internet clicks. I get it. It's interesting, I guess, in the sense that, you know, the console generations have been getting longer.
Mm-hmm.
360 was around for a long time. PlayStation 3 was around for, and 2 was around, both around for a long time. So, we're not doing the up cycles as quickly as we used to be. And now, as we've said before, the Pro and the X have confused everything because it's created this entirely new paradigm where, well, now is that, okay, so now is that, was that the upgrade? Is this now the 1X and the 4 Pro? Is that going to be a whole generation lifetime? Or did it add just like 50%? You know, is it like a half upgrade?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who knows? They will tell us when they're ready.
Yeah.
It's fun to speculate, but no one has a clue.
Yeah, Sony knows. Speculation's fun. I tend to agree with this. I would not try to predict this. You know, if the rumors that dev kits or pre-dev kits are going out early 2018 that some people seem to think is happening are true, then even then I don't see, I was just pulling this out of my rear here, but if you're just getting your first hand on the thing in 2018, then holiday 2020 is probably the soonest you could have games ready, the absolute soonest. And I just don't see it happening next year. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense for Sony to make the first move here necessarily. They got, you know, the Xbox One X hopped out after the PS4 Pro. They're making plenty of money. Red Dead's going to come out and sell a gajillion consoles again. I'd say that nobody knows, and it's most likely based on what little rumor is out there. I don't think you hear a thing about it at E3. I don't think you see this thing until 2020 at the absolute earliest. Sony's history would indicate that that would be a holiday launch, so that's 2 years away almost.
Nobody knows, and like I said, honestly, I don't care. Yeah. Look, there are whole internet sites and YouTube channels that make their entire business out of speculating about this stuff. They haven't got a clue what they're talking about. Nobody really knows. And guess what? Games today are pretty awesome. Enjoy what you've got instead of constantly worrying about what, because I guarantee you, as soon as the PlayStation 5 shows up, you're going to start thinking about the PlayStation 6.
I like the hype train. I like being excited for it. But I do think that you may be missing out on some really good games. I understand that limited budgets are important and you want to make a wise purchasing decision. But I mean, if you're going to, I don't see a lot of reason to wait unless you don't think you're going to have the $400 in pocket a couple of years from now. I think it'd be fine.
I'll tell you what I am looking forward to, PlayStation 9. Do you remember that?
I do remember PlayStation 9.
Remember the PlayStation 9? It was like that gold, it was like that crystal sphere.
Yeah.
That God knows what it did, but like it somehow like beamed the games into your brain or something.
It had blast processing.
Yeah, it was very, well, you got to have that, right?
Yeah, you got to have that. I had the blast processing. Squad up! Moonshine 1433 says, I'm looking for people to play Fortnite with and possibly other games, but my main goal is Fortnite. A lot of my friends that I was playing with can't handle Fortnite anymore because they just get too mad. I need people to play with who I can trust not to be complete fools. Whoa! Strong words there, Moonshine. I stream on Twitch whenever I play, and I need some guys to help with the grind. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thanks, guys, and keep treating the chicken respectfully. P.S. I love you. Pregnant pause. Once again, Moonshine. 14.
How can you have a pregnant pause at the end?
Pregnant pause? I don't know.
The pregnant pause has to come before something. You can't, like...
Maybe we just have it before the next second. But it's Moonshine underscore 1433. Finally, Gary, we get the timer out here. Actually, I don't think that's going to be necessary today. So this is normally when I'm supposed to get salty. People have accused me of having a positive demeanor for some reason, and occasionally request that I show my more grumpy side. Instead, today, just very quickly, I got no salt, just a reminder and a plea. 50 years ago today, this is Wednesday, April 4th, 50 years ago today, a black man was murdered in America for sharing his dream with us. And it's 50 years later, and a lot's gotten better, and a lot of things haven't. So the plea is, as much as we love video games and everything else, remember that there's more to life, and let's try to go out there and make the world a more equitable, just, and better place. Because Dr. King obviously wanted that, and they killed him for it. And it's never going to change unless we change it.
So, yeah, yeah.
That's my thoughts on that. Gary, what did we get wrong?
Well, I'm quite sure you didn't get that wrong, but let's see. Thank you. Let's see what else is. How do I even, like... Okay.
Oh, I don't know how that thing works. That's why I have. I will never do that again. I did it never again.
These come in live, right? Okay.
Do it live.
Okay. I'm very confused here. The average weight of jeans goes between 1 pound and less than 12 ounces. What is that even in response to?
Wait, is this the right day? What do we have here?
I feel like this is from.
All right.
Oh, no. Because there's some stuff here.
Did we say something about jeans? I don't remember Gene Wade.
Did you do a sponsorship thing at some point?
No, we just did Kind of Funny Games.
Okay. All right. Okay. I feel like.
Yeah. Are these the wrong year wrongs? Are we getting your wrong?
No, there are some
here.
I think some of the old ones might be here and the new ones just got added on top. Because like the first one. Yesterday you announced. Did you talk about the Vive Pro yesterday? Is that something
that happened? Yesterday.
Okay. So this is from today.
Okay. Here we go. So let's get today.
Yesterday. You announced the Vive Pro's price at $799 after competitors Sony dropping prices for PSV Vive.
Are we getting things for today about yesterday?
No, I want to stick with today. This one is for Gary. Not only is April 4th his personal anniversary of coming to America, it's also the US release for Persona 5. Cool coincidence.
Look at that.
I knew that me and that game were always meant to be together.
Did you come in the Mayflower or the Nina or the Pinto or the
Santa Maria? No.
Okay. I'm not sure which.
I think it was British Airways.
All right.
Let's see here. For the Spider-Man crossover, personally, I'd be shocked if we couldn't get a Ratchet named Trophy by hitting an enemy with a wrench. That's from Kebabs.
Okay, I love
Sean
that.
Sean from Ireland. Jared said Spider-Man was developed by Sucker Punch. It was Insomniac.
No, I'm sorry. I meant to infer that Infamous was developed by Sucker Punch.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it was just a miscommunication there.
No, I know it's Insomniac.
Lord of Pwn says PS4 natively supports keyboard and mouse in Fortnite and a few other games. So different rules on different platforms there.
Ah, just keeping that playing field equal.
K-Babs says the Crane Spider-Man voice comes from Greg's dad, as he's a crane operator. The crane swinging bit comes from the hit movie Spider-Man 3, when a crane operator does it for Spider-Man early into the movie.
Spider-Man 3, okay.
I never saw that one.
Yeah, I did. You know what? I don't like it, but I hated it a little less than I think most people do. But then again, my opinion on movies is obviously inherently wrong.
That's pretty much it. Everything else is kind of really trivial. We did good today.
Excellent. We love to be correct around here at Kind of Funny Games Daily, and who doesn't? And once again, thank you so very much for watching. We are privileged to do this, and you make it possible.
It's the highlight of my week, Jared.
Yeah, it's a highlight of your week?
Yeah. I don't know what that says about the rest of my week, but I enjoy doing it.
I think you're living a marginal existence, and that's what it proves. Gary, always have fun with you. Thank you so much.
And look, we kept it well, just barely over an hour. Yeah. So we did good this week.
We couldn't unleash the big guns every time. We got to save that for special moments.
For very special occasions.
But we do thank you for all the kind feedback we got about that extra long episode last week.
I'm surprised that people were so tolerant of it.
Well, you know, they're a kind bunch.
All right.
Gary?
Pleasure doing business with you.
Pleasure doing business with you.